Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper. Maynard put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Olin Kruch, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manily. We never talk football. We talk trash.
Craft beer mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
Patrick Manily.
This loss still bothers me, and I'm not part of the team. We're kind of at a crossroads. I feel like this is just one of those games that maybe either they come back together like they did before when they had the, you know, the big meeting or whatever, but or it goes the other way. It just doesn't feel good right now.
Patrick Manily with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
A good guy to talk to considering what's been going on with the Bears and what's ahead of the Bears, which is a really interesting and now super important game for them out in Arizona. Patrick Manily now joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us as per usual. You've had a few days to really sit with this and talk with people about this. How do you feel about watching all of this stuff play out?
I'm on to Arizona. That's it. I'm on to Arizona. No, I've thought about this, and you know, I was a little passionate yesterday with the midday show, and it was a hard loss, right? It's a game where you thought they were going to win right at the end, and you're celebrating like Tyreek Stevenson was, and you know, it was a mistake with everything he did, but you were hoping that this was going to be a little bit of a turning point where they beat a winning team after beating some bad teams, and then it didn't happen. And then what gets me a little bit, and the more I've thought about it is, you know, Coach Eberflus spoke today and basically said, I'm on to Arizona and we're dealing with everything in-house. But the more you think about it, and I kind of go between, you know, sitting where you guys are sitting and being a former player, is that the players kind of put their head coach in this position, right? So four captains came out and openly called out their head coach and the coaching and the positions they were put in. And I don't like that. So I don't like that they've done that to their head coach. But like in that opening there, this is something maybe you can rally around, right? Maybe this is something they do keep in-house. And if they are that close of a team, that they do say, hey, man, all right, maybe we need to keep our mouth quiet a little bit and let's worry about it. Keep this in-house. And it brings them together. We'll see. But it's just been an interesting week. And it's just amazing because that – darn Hail Mary turned into what it did with all what we're talking about this week.
Patrick, I'm in a weird spot because I kind of feel like you do, where, and I don't know if it's wish casting, there's a part of me because of teams that I have been on, that mm-hmm. there's a part of me because I'm trying to see better angels as I get older, that I go, you know what? This could be a good thing. It could end up being a good thing. And I'm stuck because I'm also fairly cynical when it comes mm-hmm. to how professional sure. teams work. And it feels like stuff that I saw as a reporter when things would go bad for a team. Like these are usually like, this is like step two of things devolving for a team and it being bad.
Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, I lived through it in 2013. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. And that's what was interesting, was being a part of that team where we were just looking around like, what's going on? Something's not right here. There's some coaching that's just not good enough. Like the vibe isn't right. And I got scared a little bit yesterday is that's what's going on. For the guys to go out that much and speak publicly on these airwaves to reporters and just say as much as they did, I was like, whoa. We were a different locker room. Every locker room's different. It's different era, all that kind of stuff, I understand. But to hear what they said, I was just like, wait, this is kind of what I felt in 2013. And Spieg, sitting next to you in 2014, we talked about it, and I got a little more vocal and open about what was going on in the locker room. And I guess there's two things. I'm nervous that's what's going on because I don't want to see that happen. And then hopefully it's not. I'm like you, Lawrence. I want it to be the other way around, that this does bring them together. Hey, it's 1 week, man. The player made a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't have spoke as much, or maybe we should have, and that does bring us together. So we will see. But it's an interesting time right now, and thank God we're there 4-3. If they were like 2-5, this, I think, would be blowing up a lot more.
I think this is fascinating to have an opportunity to talk with you about that Mark Trestman era and how it blew up and this moment where we are, because it is a really weird moment. Mark Trestman didn't tell you guys the truth about accountability privately, though, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're hoping that Matt Eberflus is doing, that he's saying, hey, you stunk on that, or you did that wrong. Let's fix it. And and the inverse, I stunk on that. I made the wrong call. Like, you needed a coach to do that, and Mark Trestman wasn't doing that, correct? We hope Eberflus is.
Yeah, and then what scared me the most, I think, was Jalen Johnson talking about practice, of them not calling them out or redoing plays. So in 2013, whatever, that's year 16 for me. I've been through a lot of practices. I had my helmet and I sat on my knee and watched a lot of practices. Let's put it that way. And I know what a good practice was. And I saw some bad practice and I saw some lapse in practicing, and they wouldn't redo plays. And the next thing you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we're huddled up as a team, and he would say, man, that was a great practice. And I'm looking around like, what do you mean that's a great practice? So to me, what I saw is the standard being slipped and guys were able to get away with a little bit more, and we weren't paying attention to details. And then it kind of blew up the next year. And then, you know, we had an okay year and we messed up at the last game or whatever, but it blew up the next year. And that's just what scared me a little bit, hearing Jalen Johnson say that. But now, in the positive side, if they really are together as a players and coaches now, that a player can turn around and be like, hey, coach, I'm not happy with this play. Let's run it again. Let's please run this again. We need to get this right. So hopefully that does happen. And that's what scared me the most, I think, is when I heard Jalen Johnson talk.
Agreed. So could you have a culture built by players to this extent? Eight captains, four of them spoke up this week, as you mentioned. The fact that they have stepped up and changed the way the offense does things 3 weeks ago, and now this week they have spoken up. And, you know, we'll see what kind of change comes out this. Can you have a successful team? Can you be a playoff team, a good culture, when the players run things as much as it seems like they do?
My honest answer is I've been gone too long to kind of say yes or no on that. I just think the game has changed quite a bit. Practice has changed a bit. You know, it's a different dynamic, I think, between players and coaches. I think across all leagues, too. I think it's just – players have more money now, especially the NFL. So I think that's changed. So I can't give you an answer, like a real answer on that. But my opinion on that is, yeah, I think it can. If that's the way the culture's going and that's the way the bounce back and forth is going to happen, you know, in baseball, guys make a blank ton of money. I think it's a little different there than it was football 10 years ago. Basketball, I know it is. I have some friends in the basketball that play in the NBA. It's a little different between them. So I think a lot has to do with how much money the players made. I can't give you an honest answer, but I do think it can work, in my opinion. Yeah.
It's fascinating. I love the honesty, because I think we're seeing what feels like it could be a shift in the dynamic sometimes between powerful players and a coach.
We've kind of talked about it a little bit too, Patrick, where the world is so different. And the level of empowerment and, honestly, like, the ability, and I think that this is a net positive, the ability of younger people to be more expressive and kind of ask for what they want. And I do think for those of us that, because we're all around the same age, that it's weird for us. Like, that's why I'm in the weird place, Patrick, because I don't know. I do know that this is how my students communicate.
Sure.
And they see that as, like, the honesty, the realness, they see that as the ultimate positive. So you go, well, wait, if they're manifesting this and they're able to get what they need out of it, then maybe it's all worth it, and maybe it all works out.
Hmm.
But I'm terrified that Matt Eberflus might be like an old enough school guy to be like, ah, you know, we're doing what we're doing no matter what, and I'm not used to having to be accountable to this level, both privately and publicly.
And again, let me say, I think the athlete is different too. So when I was finishing up, Facebook was coming out, Instagram was coming out, Twitter was coming out. Now guys have voices. And Lawrence, when you would get stuff from us, it kind of had to be one-on-one. I think now guys feel a lot more comfortable. You know, you have three guys on your radio station now, or our radio station now, to speak, and they speak clearly and out there. They give you all the info you want to hear. And I think a lot has to do is because of what they have in their hand, and they feel comfortable enough, and they're in a position now where everybody has that avenue to go out there and speak their mind. And I think that's maybe something different that a coach has to deal with. That we all had one message in our locker room. We were, you know, a couple captains that talk, but now everybody can talk. They can talk on all different platforms. Cole has his podcast, which he's very good at, obviously, and he can speak his mind. But I think the athlete now is just different because of what they have in their hand, large iPad or whatever they have, that they can get, they can give their honest opinion.
That's a good callback.
But they can give their honest opinion, and they can put themselves out there. I think they feel a lot more comfortable speaking individually than we used to back, you know, 10 years. And that's amazing. It's just 10 years ago.
In the Zoom that we get in to form what is the Twitch stream, Patrick is listed as Pat's large iPad. And we are imagining that it's the size of a bed sheet. Just like a twin bed, Lawrence. Not a queen, sure, or anything.
It's a projector.
But there's one size. There's a small iPad. But you are using the large one. And we appreciate it.
But not anymore, right, Pat? Like, you texted me before. You said, hey, yes, just look at my name today. Yeah. Now it just says Patrick. So what was it supposed to say?
Oh, man.
I went through about three or four, and it's some reason it now puts just Patrick up there. So I'm going to work on.
That's boring.
So as we Zoom, yes, 100%. As we Zoom, as the weeks go along, there'll be some different names up there. It was going to be my iPad's larger than Shane's iPad.
Don't brag.
I call bull, dude. Show me your iPad.
My money's on the 16-year NFLer and Arnold Palmer. In that order.
That's enough of that. All right. Well, Patrick, the football aspect, we haven't spent as much.
By the way, Lawrence, welcome to the afternoon show.
I know, right?
Thanks for reeling us back in.
That's what they pay me the medium bucks for. So look, the football we haven't touched on a bunch on the show, but there was some stuff that was upsetting watching the offense struggle. When you went and broke down the tape, why did the offense struggle until super late in the third quarter?
I mean, it's one of those things when they were a bad team, it's honestly everything, and it's an easy answer to say, but Caleb looked nervous. He missed a lot of throws. There were a couple – Keenan Allen was open on one, right down the middle. Nobody's the behind-the-back throw – or behind Keenan on one. The run game was not good. The fits on the double teams, there are a few of them. They came off at the wrong time, so linebackers were running free. Then obviously the injuries hurt him. And then it just was everything was going wrong. And that's a sign of a bad offense. But it's unfortunate that darn Hail Mary happened, because Olin talked about it. We were going to talk about it on the postgame show, and we should be talking about this week, of what Caleb did in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? That's the thing we should be talking about. He's the guy. That's what gets me excited about him. In the fourth quarter, he took him down and had a chance to win the game. Oh, another thing about the team. In the first half, Caleb Williams takes him down, a minute and 11 to go in the second quarter.
Yes.
They're like on the 30-yard line. The offensive line is discombobulated. There's some chaos going on, and he's clapping his hands, wanting the ball. And this is another problem with the offense. Shane Waldron should have called timeout. They had two timeouts left to go, a minute 11 on the 30-yard line. They called timeout. if they don't get any more yards, they get 3 points there at the half. Then we're praising Caleb on getting more points at the half, right? So it was all bad, but that's something that could have been better and made it better. But all of a sudden, the next thing you know, Caleb became Caleb. The throw he made to DJ in the fourth quarter with the pressure coming in his face, the throw he made to DeAndre Carter, that's the stuff you want to see. But sorry for the long-winded answer, but the first quarter, just everybody was wrong. Everybody was off. The run game was off. Caleb was off. It looked like the receivers off. There was one time it looked like that Rome was supposed to sit when it was in zone, and he kept drifting, and he threw behind him. So it was just everything was going off. But I got to give credit to Caleb in the fourth quarter when it counts. He tightened those screws down and looked pretty damn good.
Agreed. Caleb Williams spoke today. You'll hear from him in our 5 o'clock hour, a bunch of Bears sound in our 5 o'clock hour.
Some exclusive sound from the locker room that no one else has. Mark Grody has.
Cool. Yeah, so it should be a very action-packed Bearsy 5 o'clock hour. The injury report did come out, Pat, and Kieran Amagaje is not even going to be able to go. Braxton Jones, a DNP. So you might be at what? Matt Pryor, left tackle? And does it Nate Davis slide back in
He's
and
back,
become
baby.
Active? Nate Davis, you never left. Ryan Bates, though, was designated for return, and he was limited in practice. Larry Borum practiced in full. So I don't know what the hell we're going to have on the offensive line. Do you?
No, none of us do. And here's what makes me nervous about that, too, is Larry Borum last week, if I'm wrong, got to practice in pads, correct? He was brought back last week, and Ryan Bates was not, and they had a walkthrough today.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these guys have not worn pads or hit another defensive lineman in weeks. So to put them out there, if that's all you have, that's all you have, right? But to go out there and really going through a walkthrough today, and I'll probably walk through tomorrow just because they're still limited, you're going to throw guys out there if Ryan Bates is healthy and Larry Borum can play, that has not hit another D lineman in how many weeks? So that does scare me a little bit. But, yeah, that just scares me. I had a reporter talk. We talked to a reporter yesterday. He's like, have you ever been through a week where you had to have a walkthrough on a Wednesday? And I was like, yeah, we had to. And I joked with him. I go, is it because they're having to relearn how to walk through, like everything they were talking about, not paying attention to details? But, no, we have because you had too many injuries. You didn't want the alignment and D lineman if you were down low on them. I think it was D lineman the year I was talking about. You have to have a scout team, so they can't do both. You can't wear out their legs, but it's unfortunate the situation they're in. And I'm just nervous about if Ryan Bates comes back and Larry Borum comes back. I'm happy they're healthy, but they haven't hit anybody.
When you look at Arizona, what do you see?
I kind of Kyler Murray is having this thing going. I heard you guys turn the page. Thank God we did turn the page, but Kyler Murray is that good. He's playing pretty well right now. You said 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's playing well. I do think this defense, I think they're giving up 140.3 yards a game in the run game. So if you are plugging in these linemen, don't have them pass block. Let's get this run game going. Continue that thing going. Simplify the game plan for those guys. And we've seen them do well against other lesser opponents, obviously, but in the run game the last couple weeks. So to me, if you're down on O-lineman, you just come out and run the rock. And this is a team that looks like you can do it on.
Pat, has your father-in-law been locked in on Dodgers-Yankees? For those who don't know, Pat Manley's father-in-law is Tommy John. He's the last Yankees pitcher to start a game against the Dodgers in the World Series before Gerrit Cole in game one, right?
Yeah, he got pulled in the fourth inning. I think it was tied 1-1 or 2-2, and they lost 9-4 or something. The dumb managerial move there, but we don't need to go there. But, yes, he is excited. And I got to ask him, I said, who are you pulling for? Because I've gotten texts from everybody. Who are you pulling for? He goes, I don't care. He's just so excited to see the Dodgers-Yankees play. So that's if everybody – I don't know. I didn't get back to all my texts, but if anybody in Chicago is listening, yeah, he just wants to see a good series, and unfortunately it doesn't look that way right now, but he doesn't care. He's a – huge fan of both organizations.
Some might argue that a similarly bad managerial move happened in game one with the Yankees.
You were saying the same thing. After 88 pitches, Gerrit Cole got taken out in game one.
It made no sense.
They're going to have to pry that ball out of his hands tonight.
I would be in – well, they like doing that at Yankee Stadium, apparently.
Hey, Speaks.
I walked you right there, baby.
Speaks, you know I'm a huge baseball fan. But that game one, those final three or four innings, man, that was a show.
Yeah. Electric.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That's as good as baseball gets, in my opinion.
Hey, do you realize who the new White Sox manager's little brother is, Pat Manley?
I do. He's my former teammate.
Yes.
Winston.
Yes, Winston.
There for
Winston
the greatest.
Winston was a good player, man.
He was on.
Winston was a good
part of the greatest
2011.
The greatest special teams play that never happened.
Yeah, yeah. But there's something I do. Like, all right, I got to play with a lot of players, and he was memorable. I remember he came in from Boise State, and he was a guy that kind of knew he wasn't going to be a DB, and he's like, I want to be a special teamer. And that's all he cared about. He was there. He'd work his butt off. I think he played four phases, paid attention to detail, and he's another one of those guys that played 1,000 miles an hour. So I played with a lot of guys, and that's a guy for 1 year of my career I played with. I can remember pretty much everything about him just because he played so hard and cared so much to be in that room and play with us.
Thank you for giving us something to play for him when he joins the radio show tomorrow to talk about his brother,
yeah.
The manager.
Oh, yeah. He was great, man. He's a smart dude and just an effort guy, man. He's a great teammate.
Patrick, so are you. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, sir.
It's Patrick Manley. He's great. Let's talk about what happened at Yankee Stadium yesterday.
Those guys, man. Those jamokes. They looked like extras from The Honeymooners. That was my favorite description that somebody tweeted.
Yeah.
They looked like absolute caricatures of a 1950s New Yorker.
Or a 2024 New Yorker. We'll talk about that in the coverage of it next here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
Right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out, one gone in this first. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Idiots.
Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports.
Such complete idiots. Jackasses. And then the way they talked about it after the game. I didn't see the tweets that went viral and all the coverage that was happening last night. I just want to quickly say from my perspective, I woke up and read the story that Jesse Rogers filed on ESPN and read these quotes from these complete idiots. Jackass, jamoke, New York entitled idiots with like We need to defend our wall. Yeah. We talked about it for years. If a ball ever comes over, we'll do whatever we have to do to get the ball out of the glove. And them talking about doing what we can to support the team. You're not on the team, man. You're not on the team. Just horrendous versions of entitled New York baseball fans. Wow. And I was excited to come in here and laugh at them and make fun at their idiocy. And then I realized there's extra layers of stuff that's going on that I barely even noticed, having woken up and taken in the story that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff that goes on. And shout out to Paul Sullivan, because if you should read the piece that Sully just posted, because I think that he pretty much nails it. Like, pretty much nails it as far as both the incident itself and then the coverage by our friend Jesse Rogers that seemed to be glorifying it. And Jesse kind of reveling in the fact that he was the one that got those guys and it already like doing rehabilitation on those guys' reputations by, oh, he's a beaut and all that nonsense.
Yeah, can you – well, fill people in on some of that stuff from last night, because Jesse does the legwork to go and find them at the bar and get a comment from them.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's like a picture of them like they're the bleeping get-along gang where – It's just, I'm surprised that the editors at ESPN allowed Jesse to frame the story in the way that he framed it, where, oh, look at these lovable goofs that, you know, that they just kind of love their team and aren't they funny, when this could have gone left in multitude of ways. And I do think that it's okay to laugh at the ridiculousness of it, but to not acknowledge how over the line it is.
They're grabbing at his glove and trying to rip it off his hand.
Grabbing him.
Yeah, the other guy's grabbing the other hand. And he's like jumping up to repeatedly engage. Sometimes looks like he's overextending the arm a little bit.
At first I'm like, wait, is the second guy pulling Mookie up so that he doesn't get hurt? Like, that was what was going through my head. And I was like, no, he's also a bag.
Like, hot bag on bag action.
He's also a bag.
They were pals.
So I was thinking about this and thinking, of, like, put yourself in Mookie's place. I think Mookie's a better person than I.
Dude, Mookie in the moment is just, like, pointing at them and pointing at security.
He
and
did
he
exactly the right thing.
But and then after the game, he's like, those are just passionate fans. Those are just passionate fans. I'd rather just, we lost the game, and I'm just going to focus on the next game. Mookie going super-duper high road.
Well, it's high road, and it's compartmentalization. And it's exactly what you expect from an MVP level player, that he knows that there's not a lot of winning for him in this particular battle. And the thing that's most important to him is to win the World Series. So you start to focus on that. But it just, like, the picture of it is really terrible. And seeing some of the incidents that have gotten closer and closer to getting us back to, like, Malice at the Palace, to see this happen on the World Series stage is just awful. And I think because those guys kind of look like central casting and, oh, well, they're just big goofy guys who love the Yankees, that it's very easy to dismiss it as if it were nothing. But I do think if there were other people that did this to a different athlete, it would be different. And the reaction to it would feel different. And it wouldn't be lovable. And it wouldn't be jokey joke time. It wouldn't be make them a star time. And so I'm glad that the thing about Sully is that Sully is not afraid of the smoke. And I appreciate that he wrote in the Tribune, and I highly recommend anyone who's read the Jesse story to read the Sully story, that it wasn't great journalism by Jesse, and I would tell Jesse that to his face. And I really like Jesse, and he helped me tremendously here.
And it
wasn't great journalism by him.
The idea to go find him and the hustle to go get them and to get the quote, I think, are all great, like, and classic Jesse in terms of, like, early...
We've seen him do that as a producer.
Early days of The Score, yes, when he was producing North and Jiggets.
100%.
He was the best guest booker and crazy hustle and super creative and all of that. But then it's the framing and the propping up of them last night.
The editorial decision that he made in doing it and then kind of reveling in it
is the
thing that I think a lot of his colleagues are having a problem with, and they took it to his neck yesterday in the responses to it on Twitter.
And as you say, his bosses could have helped frame that better.
They sure could have.
They could have done a better job of that. But I think a lot of people have gone through a process here of being like, oh my God, look at this. This is crazy. Oh, that's wacky. Look at those idiots. Yeah, okay, it's kind of funny. And then they start to take it a little more seriously. If I were to give you, because we're about to hear from a former professional athlete who's in the sports media, who was buddies with one of those guys in college. And if you were to pick out of a hat of somebody who might have been buddies with Copabianco or whatever that dude's last name is, you probably would have landed on Rob Gronkowski, who was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams this morning.
And we're seeing here.
This is actually the first time I'm seeing this live. Okay. And here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly. Just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But he's a beauty.
Okay,
he is a beauty. Okay, and I just want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
Okay. We're not talking any football today. I need to recue the tape. Gronk, we can call him a beauty, is what
he
you
is
just
a beauty.
Said. Will you tell me that you're telling me this is okay?
No, I'm not saying it's okay.
Well, now I want you to tell me what you think of what your friend did.
No, I'm not. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah, lost that distance.
Walk it back.
They were maniacs. Yeah.
I mean, if Gronk's calling you a maniac, that's about all you need to know.
They were fun. That's for sure. He's a fun dude.
Gronk, this is unhinged behavior.
It is unacceptable, definitely, in the world of sports. But when you're that big of a fan, that's what fans do. I mean, whenever they have an opportunity to do that.
And
he
really
got interviewed by ESPN. I read it this morning. He said him and his friend talked about it every single time they were at a Yankees game. What would they do if that situation occurred? And he said they would do it again, and that's what they would do. They would stand up and protect the D. That's what he said. So.
They could have ripped Mookie's arm off.
I think it's truly unacceptable. I mean, that act of behavior.
Now you do.
Not 90 seconds
after
ago.
After Kay Adams reminds you that this is an abhorrent act in the middle of your moment of reveling. And you know what? And to your point, and to Sully's point, Gronk read the story on ESPN and thought it was great.
Let's also observe that Mookie... Somebody read it to him. Let's also observe that Mookie caught that ball he caught it before the wall. He might have carried
drifted
to the wall.
Into it, yes.
If he caught that ball over the wall, then there's an argument for you to try to knock the ball out of the player's hands.
No, but, no.
Not the way they did it, Lawrence.
Shane, you're wrong. There's an argument to knock the ball away.
Before it gets to
the glove.
There's
never an argument to knock it out of a player's glove.
Not the way they did it. That's not what I'm saying. Not the way they did it. But he caught the ball before the wall hit. So there's no protecting the wall. You're just being a bag.
And definitely being a bag.
And yes, it's like there's a line to be drawn here because you have a right to try and make a catch if you're a fan and it's coming down to you.
100%.
You absolutely do.
Yes.
And there's a line to be drawn here from the Steve Bartman situation in this town and to the Legault brothers situation in this town. And then, of course, to Jeffrey Meyer and the home
Baltimore
run
Orioles,
and the Baltimore
Tony,
Orioles.
Tony Tarasco?
Yeah, I think it was. And he was Jeffrey Meyer already quoted in stories today. You know? Shane, please book Steve Bartman. I know you've been trying for a while. See what you could do. But
pretty sure Jesse was that morning.
I think you're right. I think there is we all know these incidents from different data points in our lives. And a lot of the news coverage and the think pieces today are, is it getting worse? This fan entitlement at sporting events, is it getting worse?
I think it is.
I mean, that was really bad. And
that
then
was terrible.
And then them saying afterwards, we were told that we can come back tonight. Can you imagine if they were back tonight?
And I don't think that that's the case.
No.
That's the other part of it, them scheming to get back into the ballpark tonight. Like, that's why it's not funny. Like because they
weren't even scheming though, Lawrence. They thought that they were just going to be able to go back.
Yeah.
Because security told them when they kicked him out, yeah, you guys can come back tomorrow night. And then they said
that's what they said.
And it's in the article. And MLB and the Yankees both today said, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They said that they can come back for game 5.
Because the entitlement remained even after the game.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. No one told them that they were going to be allowed to be back in that game. Like that's not like those are the types of things that get you banned for a long time from going to games. But of course they don't think about that.
No, they think
because they've
fine.
Never had to think about that. And had this been Mookie getting injured in this moment, how do we talk about it then? And that was possible. Like
easily.
He's very vulnerable in that moment. And here are these two guys yucking it up. And here's Jesse yucking it up with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross.
Idiots. Unbelievable idiots. A shameful, shameful situation. I'm glad they won't be there tonight.
I guarantee you they're going to try to be.
They'll try to be.
No, do you know where they are tonight?
Lock up?
No, they're doing the Barstool live stream.
Oh, no. They got invited
they
there?
They are with the Yankees Barstool crew doing their live stream tonight. Both of those guys.
Of course they are.
Oh, well, I mean, God. This is Barstool's very good at capitalizing on stuff like this. They see it and they're like, hey, we're going to get a lot of views.
Is Eddie?
And they will. They'll get a ton of them.
Is Eddie going to be there? No, Eddie's here, right? Eddie, I like Eddie. Eddie Frumberstool. His last name is Frumberstool. He only wants me to refer to him by his last name. Only ever.
You know what? That is a good point. I don't know Eddie's actual last name.
Farrar. Eddie Farrar.
Okay.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he seems like it.
Yeah. I like Frumberstool myself.
But I realized, like, oh my God, I don't know that guy's last name.
Yeah. It's we do Fox TV together every once in a while.
I see you guys getting the final word in.
Yeah.
It's not called that.
It's not called that anymore. But it still feels like that's what we're doing.
When we come back, we have to talk about another different weird story and a benching. That was warranted,
dude,
and was executed by a coach.
We've turned the page on our week, but we haven't turned the page on that team's week. I don't want to just yet.
Okay, let's get to it next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Anthony, can you explain just you subbing out? Were you hurt? Were you injured? Were you tired?
I was tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play, so I just, just told
Sam
I just needed a little break right now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's a really rough moment for a young man.
You're going to need to, let's tell people exactly what he said, because the sound quality wasn't great and he talks low and doesn't enunciate super well. But because he was asked why, he went out for a play in the middle of that game.
He had a scramble play where he kind of went from one sideline to the other.
Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback on Sunday. Yeah.
Avoided a sack and was gassed after that play. Then did the universal sign for take me out, just tapping your helmet. And the sidelines of the Colts was shocked. And so there's Joe Flacco like, oh, I got to find my helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Puts his helmet on and goes out there.
And in real time, Twitter's like, oh, no, what happened to Anthony Richardson?
A lot of people are thinking that he's hurt, and that's why he's coming out of the game, because ordinarily, 99.9% of the time, when a quarterback does that, it's because they're hurt. not because they're tired.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of quarterbacks won't come out of games because they play behind an offensive line
that doesn't get to come out of the game.
That doesn't come out of games.
Yeah, no, you're the quarterback. You could hand the ball off. Yeah, like, are you able to maybe get back to the huddle and call a play and walk up to the line and then snap the ball and hand it off? That's when you rest as a quarterback.
Yep, you could absolutely do that.
It's kind of like Michael Jordan used to rest on offense.
On offense sometimes. Scotty, you got it.
Yeah, Scotty, you got it. He put the hands down on his thighs or whatever. Like, you find moments. You're a quarterback in the NFL. You don't ask out for a play.
I think that his talent is super tantalizing, and that's why, was he drafted number 10 overall? He should still be taking snaps in college. And I don't mean just because of this incident.
Oh, no, he's been bad, man.
I think that because he's only quarterbacked like 25 games in his whole, like.
Yeah, it was only like 6 games in college or something like that.
Yeah, so.
It was fewer than Mitch Trubisky.
So to me, I feel like this is one of those things where, because the measurables are so off the charts, and week after week he makes some sort of throw where you go, oh my God, I can't believe that someone was able to do that. Like, no human should be able to make plays the way that Anthony Richardson does. I think the lack of reps really hurts him. And this was one of those moments where you're hoping that the guy that's going to be in charge of your franchise has a mature moment. And that is not what your locker room wants to hear from its quarterback.
Now, listen, Shane Steichen has benched him. He was vague about it on Monday, and then word came out yesterday that he is now sitting. They're taking a break from him. Joe Flacco is the starter. But we saw some chaotic play from him in the Bears game. Bears still managed to lose it, but we saw.
It was one of the worst quarterback games I've ever seen.
Horrendous. And I don't know, I saw a bunch of plays from that game as I was red zoning on Sunday. The last minute of the second quarter, he threw a horrendous interception in his own on his own side of the field. He just handed 3 points to the opposition in the final minute of the first half. And then in what could have been a drive for a game, I think it was game-tying field goal, might have even been game-winning field goal because it was super tight at the end. But he ran, he scrambled, and he ran probably 15, 18 yards downfield and had a chance to go out of bounds and stop the clock and didn't even get close to doing that. Went down. The broadcaster's like, I don't even think it looked like he knew he was supposed to get out of bounds. Not like he didn't quite get there. He didn't even think about it. Like, that is a very young quarterback.
Yeah,
at play.
I feel for him. I truly do, because I do think that this is a product of being over promoted. Like, you were not ready to take over a franchise, and maybe this is a course correction where he is going to sit and learn from Joe Flacco. And the Colts are right now in the 8th spot in the AFC. They're 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're a playoff team. So they don't want to ruin their opportunity to catch up to where Denver's at, or maybe even where Buffalo is at, and find yourself in the playoffs. They think that there's something here, so they're going to let Flacco go out there. And I think Flacco, it's similar to what you see with Andy Dalton. I think that he can be effective for a while, and then he's not going to be effective. And then it's going to be really bad.
I'll take Joe Flacco over Andy Dalton.
Probably.
In terms of competence and ability to sling it, I'll take Joe Flacco. By the way, Anthony Richardson, number 4 overall in the 2023 draft. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Anthony Richardson in that draft. 13 games played in college, just 10 in the pros to this point.
It's not a lot of games at all. We've got something for you here for our Bears hit, 2 words. Mark Grody hit us up, and he's like, guys, I've been in the locker room. I was able to talk to some guys away from other cameras and other outlets. We've got some exclusive sound from some of the guys that you've heard from this week after all of this has gone down. You'll want to hear it. It's next here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country?
you might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.